Hello. In this reflection, I'm going to talk about how natural it is to be aware of your true nature. How it is not some kind of strange state of mind, completely different from one's normal state of mind. And how it develops naturally. And stabilizing your true identity, so to speak, is just a completely natural thing. So it's helpful, I think of our lives, our personal development, in four main stages: the baby, the child, the adult, and the seer. And what I'm going to present here, which is Douglas Harding's ideas essentially, is that this growth throughout your life, these different phases of personal development, can be understood as a shift in point of view, a very physical thing. So in other words, you, as a baby, start from your own point of view, which in headless terms is headless, at large, space for the world, faceless. You're not yet aware of yourself as a person behind a face. So that's the first stage. Well, that is you being aware, if we can put it. That's too complicated, because you're not doing anything. You know, you're just being yourself, which is being the first person, space for the world. And you're pre-verbal. Now what happens is that everyone around you from day one begins to tell you who you are from their point of view, let's say about 6 feet away. They say, well, you're a baby. You have an outline, you're a thing. And although obviously as a baby you wouldn't think of it like this at all, but just making sense of it as an adult, you might say, well, hang on a minute, no, I'm not, I'm space for the world, I have no idea what you're talking about, I can't see a baby here. But all your friends, your parents, society can see a baby there at your center. And through language and gesture and showing you the mirror, they educate you about what you are for them and tell you that is what you are at your center. And in effect, they are inviting you out there 6 feet to where they're looking from. So you've got to imagine going out there and, as it were, going inside their heads, turning round and looking out through their eyes back towards yourself and seeing yourself from there. And then taking on board here at centre that is what you are. So you are what Douglas Harding calls shifting centre. Here at my centre I am nothing, full of everything. Over there, at your centre, you're the same. You're nothing, full of everything. But you, from there, see me as a person. I go out to your centre, 6 feet, turn around. See, I shift centre, and I see myself from over there. Now, you are imagining that, but that is very powerful. Everybody, language, society, the mirror, is telling you that's what you are from there. Well, that's what you are here at your centre. So, the baby, you're not yet aware of that. You're blissfully ignorant of what you look like. As a child, you are learning that, and you're learning to see yourself with a face, and you're learning to understand that all your thoughts and feelings are not out there with everything else. They're behind your face, behind your forehead, inside, and that your face, let's say, is a kind of frontier surface, And on your side of it is you and all your feelings and thoughts and sensations. And on the other side is what is not you. So as an adult, you have learned, taken on board the ability, the skill of shifting center. Now you're, as it were, you're out there in everybody around you and in mirrors looking back at yourself and projecting that image back on your center and taking yourself to be that. You've shifted center. You're out to lunch and you're no longer aware of what it is like at your own center, which is empty. And if you did notice you were empty, you'd have a shock probably, and you'd think you'd gone mad, and you wouldn't understand it, because it's not in the social ideas of what you are. You're a thing. So, in the third stage now, it's sort of the opposite from the baby. The baby, you're just yourself at your own center. You haven't gone out yet. The child, you're moving back and forth because you want to join in society. And the ticket, the price of joining in society is shifting center and taking on board what you are for society deeply. Learning that you are a person and taking full responsibility for all that you say and do, well, more or less. And the third stage, you've done it. And most people think, society tells you, that is growing up. Becoming aware of what you are, which you can't see, but society can. Becoming aware of that and accepting that's what you are, at center. And then, because you don't have a choice about what you are, you can't choose the one you see in the mirror. So because you don't have a choice, you have to now make the best of the one that you've been assigned. And that's about it. I mean, you do the best with that one that you've been given. And of course, then you die. But, in fact, that need not be the end of it. There is potentially a fourth stage of the seer. And all that means, really, is that you, instead of basing yourself just out there in others, you come back to your own center, which, of course, you've never really ever left. It's all the paradox. You come back to your own center and you look for yourself at what it's like to be you, which of course is headless, no face dividing off inside from outside, space for the world, no dividing line, which of course you've always been, you've just not been aware of it. So this isn't rocket science, this is not jumping into some completely different state of mind or point of view or something. It is just looking for yourself, at yourself, shifting center back to your own center, back to zero. And obviously what you are at zero is going to be different from what you are from 6 feet. It's relativity. And of course, if someone came up to your center, from 6 feet, they see you as a person, but they come closer and they see a patch of skin. You're not a person at closer range, relativity. And even closer, of course, your cells. And then molecules, atoms, particles. So if someone could come up to you, you would disappear. And then you're right at center, and you see you've completely disappeared, and you're full of the world. So it makes sense. It makes sense in terms of science in that way. And it makes sense in terms of your personal development, that you start just at your centre, then you go out and see, go out to other centres and see yourself from there and overlook your own centre, and then you become aware again of your own centre, and you keep both, you have both. Because when you, as an adult, come back to your own centre and enter the fourth stage, if you like, of the seer, you don't forget what you are for others. I believe you could not forget. And why would you want to? Why would you want to not be aware of who you are in society, who you are for others? Anyway, I don't think you can. But this model of shifting centre, first of all, shows that it is a normal thing, understandable, and secondly, that you can keep both points of view. And in fact, awakening to what you are at your own centre, which of course no one else can see, only you can see, so you've got to trust your own experience, because society will be banging on your door telling you all the time that you are a person, and instead of rejecting that, you place it. You say, well, I am for you over there and in the mirror, but here I'm quite different. So you've got to sort of stand up for yourself. But when you see that at centre you are vast and open and space for the world, of course you understand that everyone else is in the same condition. You see, when you shift centre over to your friend there and see yourself from their point of view, you're not really looking from a person there, you're looking from the vast space at their centre. So this deepens empathy. Growing up, you take up other people's view of you and the world. You empathise, you put yourself in their shoes. When you see who you are, you empathise more deeply and realise at centre they are empty like you for the world. But they also receive feedback from the world that they're a person. They've got both going too. Now, the way that you become aware of yourself as a person growing up is through the constant feedback of society, of your friends, of the mirror. And you couldn't do it on your own for lots of obvious reasons, because it is seeing yourself through the eyes of others. But what helps you stabilize your awareness of yourself through the eyes of others, your awareness of yourself as a person, is the constant feedback that you're in a society that is telling you 24/7 you are a person. And that is, I suppose, mainly through language and gesture. People are always referring to you by your name as a person, and even someone just looking at you, you feel looked at. You feel self-conscious. So this is, you can't get around it, you can't get away from it. It is constant feedback. But you want to join in, you want to be a part of society. And the cost of that, the price of that, the ticket into society is to obey the rules, is to accept you are what everyone says you are, and in a way deny your true nature. But you don't have a choice. I mean, you just don't have a choice. It just comes at you, and it is a natural development. And we don't look at a child and worry every day, are they going to become aware of their, you know, who they are in society? Will they remember their name? All of this. We accept that this will happen unless something goes wrong. It is a natural development. You've got to put in effort. You've got to provide the right conditions. But like a plant growing, if you provide the soil and the water and the sunlight and all that it needs, it will grow. So you grow into seeing yourself as a person and being a person. As if you're a person at least, but it is so deep in us. We just don't have to think about it. You see, probably, I don't know, but as an infant you have to sort of think about it. You have to work it out. But it's like riding a bicycle to begin with. You've got to think about it, and then when you've learned, you don't think about it. You just do it. Now, it is the same mechanism when you become aware of your true nature. People say, well, how can I stabilize it? How can I live from this? How can I be aware of this all the time? Well, I say that it will happen. If you want it to happen, it will happen. It is a natural process. But you have to put some effort in. You have to provide the right conditions. And what are those conditions? Well, I think probably they will be different for everyone. But if you look back at how you became aware of being a person, it was by hanging out with others who were telling you that, who were acting towards you as if you were a person. And there was really no other way to operate but taking on board being a person. So it wasn't really something you achieved personally. It was just the whole milieu. It was just the situation that you were saturated in. So when you are attempting to remain aware of your true nature, I say, as much as you can, saturate yourself in an environment that accepts, promotes, celebrates your true nature. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, there are lots of ways. You'll find your own way. There isn't one way. But the way that I have found, well, there are many aspects of the way that I have found to just so that seeing who you really are becomes natural. And that you don't think about it, like riding a bike. And what I found was that when I was introduced to this by Douglas Harding, he invited people to his home, anyone who was interested in this. So I went, and I went, you know, time and time and time again. And I got to know lots of people, because there were always people there. And it was all about seeing. It wasn't to watch football or something on TV. It was all about being aware of who you really were and talking about it, doing experiments. But even if you're just cooking together, it was being aware of who was cooking and communicating about it. So I think that what happened for me was I was in a society where we communicated about it. Now, we didn't just talk about who we really were, we talked about who we were as people too. Both were operating. But we didn't overlook, we didn't deny, we were aware of our true nature. And that was on the front burner as much as who you were as a person. So I say, hang out with others. That's what I've done and still do. I hang out with others in Zoom meetings, in workshops, my friends, talking to people. It is just a part of the currency of our friendships that we are aware of who we really are, and we value it, and we refer to it. And now, even just when one of my friends looks at me, it's not only do I feel looked at as a person, I feel reminded of the space they're looking into and they're looking from. And obviously, the number of people in the world who are aware of their true nature is not that great, but it is growing. And it is a natural process. And so you have to put effort in. You have to, if you want, you know, if you're drawn to it, make contact with people, make friends, see. But also maybe read about it or write about it or you know, just set up things, as it were, in your life that remind you. But after a while, for me, it is just everything reminds me. It's like riding a bike. You're riding a bike, and you're seeing who you are. You're being who you are. It's totally natural. Natural phase of development. And again, just as you don't worry too much about a child's development, you worry, but you do everything you need to do to make sure that their development unfolds, but you're not in control of their development. Like you're not in control of a rosebud opening into a flower. There's a force there that you provide. You can provide the right conditions, but the force is out of your control. It's a different thing, isn't it? I say it's the same with awakening to and living from and being who you really are in the fourth stage. That your true nature wants to do that. So just provide the right conditions and be patient. Now, of course, the wonderful thing is that every time you're aware of your true nature, it's 100%, you're fully at home. You can't half see your centre, the nothingness here. You can't see it a bit cloudy. Just perfect. So that is very encouraging, isn't it? That the nature of it is not developmental at center. You can't develop the space. So then you stop worrying about it. Every time you look, you see you're perfectly at home. And of course, sometimes you need to make effort, and sometimes you've made the effort and you don't need to make effort. There's a rhythm there. But at center, there's no effort. There's nothing. Full of everything. So, this is really putting it, the experience, the awareness of your true nature into a model of personal development where it is a natural stage. And in fact, I would say it's a natural stage for humanity, that we have as a species gone through these stages. And at the moment we are deeply into the third stage of seeing ourselves as separate from each other and behind our faces and head to head with each other, and that breeds obviously lots of conflict. But we are already, hopefully, already moving into the fourth stage, because lots of people are waking up to their true nature. And with these things, there's a tipping point. It gets into the language, gets into the culture. It's been coming for thousands of years. But now, I think it is speeding up, especially with communication technologies now. I'm speaking to you. Online video meetings, these make connections with others who are seeing who they are very easy. I think Rumi had this little story about the person who saw who they were looking for someone else who also saw who they were. He wanted to share it with someone. And he wore out shoes of iron looking for someone. He walked from Hind to Sind, he said, looking for one other person. And maybe in their lives, someone who was aware of their true nature didn't meet anyone else. Okay, well, that's one thing, but nowadays, you don't have to walk from Hind to Sind looking for someone else who is aware of their true nature. They're all around you, and it is up to you just to press a button and join a Zoom meeting. I mean, that is different. And in terms of the headless way, I mean, there are lots of ways. And you can mix ways, can't you? Mix languages. That's all it is. Your true nature is the same, whatever language you use. The headless way offers these experiments that point directly to your true nature non-verbally. So, I mean, that speeds up the process of sharing it. If someone is seriously interested in seeing their true nature and comes across the headless way and does the pointing, well, there you are. Bingo. The zeros have it. Yes. And when you point and see there's nothing here, if you have the reaction, yes, but, I say, completely normal. When you're growing up, I can imagine, I don't know if this would be true, but you'd have some struggles and resistance, wouldn't you? Well, you do, to taking on board your human nature. I mean, adolescence, rebellion, the identity crisis. It's a deep thing, it's a huge thing, because growing up, you in effect shift from being this vast openness to other people's point of view, where you're small, and you take that on board, so your experiences of shrinking, being confined, adolescent rebelliousness, you could understand in those terms that you've been shrunk and you don't like it. And whereas as a instinctively as a baby, you own everything. Everything is in you. There's no dividing off you from not you. As an adolescent, you're being told the world is not yours. You, at some level, you feel cheated. It's been stolen from you, and you want to fight back. You want to resist. You want to say no to society because it is restricting your freedom and your wealth and all of that. And you have to accept that you're limited, and you do. But secretly inside, you know secretly somewhere that you're free. But how do you live with that, live with society's chains? Rousseau, wasn't it? Man is born free, but everywhere he is in chains. So when you become aware of your true nature, if you go, yes, but, I say, well, that's totally normal. You're deeply conditioned to think of yourself, for me to think of myself, as limited. So now I discover there's no boundary. How can I function? See, this is a potentially a huge shock to the system, to understanding who you are. And the yes but is really creative. If someone just says yes and never questions and never is interested in how that works out in terms of seeing yourself as a person, well, good luck to them. That's not my experience. I had, big buts. And so did Douglas Harding. And he wrote a lot of books. What his books were about were him working out for himself how this fitted with society's view of him, of science's view of him. And it's tremendous work. But, I mean, that read those books. Talk to people. But Douglas Harding, I highly recommend all his books because it's a kind of modern reassessment of who we are that honours your experience of yourself at your own centre and other people's experience of you from where they are and shows how these two views of oneself fit together, make sense. and how it is a natural process. And there are rhythms, and rhythms of expansion and contraction. And you can't have expansion without contraction in that sense. So if you see the fourth stage as expansion, well, you can only really know expansion having been through the third stage of contraction. That third stage of forgetting who you really are is absolutely vital for lots of reasons, but you couldn't appreciate your true nature without that contrast. And the fourth stage, the words, you see, the wonderful thing is that the experience of your true nature is non-verbal. So then you're not trying to define it. Even this model that I'm talking about is just a way of thinking about it. And the words that we use, because we've got the experience, the non-verbal experience, we don't have to, I say, you don't have to rely on the words too much. You don't have to get it exactly right, because you won't. Because as soon as you say one thing about your true nature, it's likely that the opposite is true, and certainly there's more to say. But you relax. It's like poetry. You just enjoy the images. See? So when I say the fourth stage makes it sound like a kind of limited thing, it's just an unfolding. And who knows where the fourth stage goes or what it is. I mean, we're discovering it. Opening, continuing to open. So a completely natural development, which needs some input, effort on your part, on my part, from time to time, when it is appropriate. It is not a state of mind completely outside the normal phases of development. It is a normal phase. And when you're growing up, if you don't learn language, then people know that something has gone wrong. And I say, you could say, that in a sense, if you don't become aware of your true nature, the fourth stage, something's gone wrong in a way. You're not fulfilling your potential. You've got stuck in the third stage. You see, it's not following a program or what someone else is telling you to do. It is coming back to your own experience of yourself and valuing it and appreciating it. So there are my thoughts on the naturalness of being aware of who you really are. Yes. Enjoy.